Hello and welcome to episode 16 of the Everything Pup podcast. I'm your host, Holly Montgomery. When I opened my first health food store for pets in 2006, raw food diets for dogs and cats were somewhat controversial. In fact, I remember people peeking their heads into our store, seeing our giant walk-in freezers, and being really, truly confused. Is this a health food store for pets or people? They'd say. Despite the fact that raw diets have been and continue to be vilified and many have attempted to scare pup parents into avoiding the diet, the popularity in raw food has soared in recent years. So much so, in fact, that you'd be hard-pressed to find a pet food store without at least a few options. So, why is it that dog owners everywhere are switching to raw diets despite the fact that most veterinarians are still opposed to the diet? Well, I believe that it's the fast and undeniable benefits that pet parents are experiencing for themselves. And I'm no exception. At one point, the fear tactics worked on me, but now that I've been feeding my dogs raw food for around 20 years and seen all the advantages for myself, there's no going back for me. In this episode, I'm going to share the story of my very first dog, Brindle, and how she led my husband Ron and I down the path of ditching our careers in favor of helping dogs around the world get healthier through species-appropriate diets.
You're listening to the Everything Pup Podcast, the place for dedicated pup parents to find valuable dog-centric tips, interviews with trusted industry experts and your favorite dog brands, and everything else you need to become an informed advocate for your best friend. Now, here's your host, Holly Montgomery.
Welcome back. So when Ron and I purchased our first dog, our boxer Brindle, we knew nothing about feeding dogs. In fact, we decided what to feed her based on what her breeder suggested, which was a low-quality diet. And we didn't know it was low-quality at the time. And unfortunately, Brindle had digestive issues from day one of us bringing her home. This was problematic for a number of reasons, but one of the big ones was that we lived on the 8th floor of an apartment complex, and we couldn't get her to the grass in time to deal with her emergencies. So we did what I assume a lot of you have done when faced with similar issues. We took her to the vet. The vet proceeded to run us through the gamut of diets, the ones that they sold, and there were zero improvements in her digestion. We were finally told that Brindle had irritable bowel disease and that there was nothing we could do about it. And sadly, in addition to Brindle's digestive issues, she was actually a real bitch. Brindle would attack me on walks, and I was not only embarrassed, but I was deeply hurt. I loved her so much, but every time I took her on a walk, she would grab and bite my arms and sleeves. I honestly felt like she hated me, and I didn't know what I did to deserve that. And yeah, I cried a few times. And when Brindle was around the age of 6 months, we met another boxer breeder that was raw feeding her dogs. When we described Brindle's issues to her, she suggested that we try a raw diet. And I'm not going to lie, when we brought home our first commercial raw diets, Ron and I were a bit paranoid about getting her sick, and we actually followed her around after she ate and disinfected everything she touched, but we don't do that anymore. And the good news was, only 2 days after her very first raw meal, her stools were solid. This was the first solid stool she'd had in the entire 6 months we'd had her. Additionally, we were taking agility classes with Brindle, and her trainer said, "What did you do to that dog? She's a different dog." She'd gone from being ambivalent about participating, and yeah, she did a lot of that sleeve grabbing and leg grabbing and embarrassed me. And then after we switched her to the new diet, she actually started having fun, and she actually started listening to me, and she was a pretty good agility dog, especially for a boxer. And best of all, Brindle stopped grabbing my arms and sleeves on walks, and instead of being mean and frustrated, she became curious and interested in her surroundings. We were really stunned and super, super happy. And when we trotted off to the vet again for her yearly checkup, the vet told us Brindle looked amazing, and she was really excited when we told her that her stomach issues were a thing of the past. However, when she found out the reason for our success was a raw diet, her face fell, the room got quiet, and I'll remember this forever, she said. you're going to kill your dog. Ron and I became equally somber, but mostly we were just really, really confused. How could something that had so many positive effects in such a short time kill our dog? That was nearly 20 years ago, and in case you're wondering, we did not take Brindle off of a raw diet. In fact, we dug deep into research, and we found a new vet that supported our decision. We learned that the vet community at the time was really opposed to raw diets, and although there's been some progress in that regard today, there's not as much as there should be. And we also found out how little education veterinarians actually had on the topic of dog nutrition. And incidentally, we found that out from the veterinarians themselves. So this experience with Brindle was our gateway into the pet industry and all of the lies and deception it was feeding to pet parents everywhere. I really wanted to educate other dog owners that were going through similar issues, that there were options out there that could help their dogs. And options that we didn't stumble upon easily. And after that, the desire to help others is what led me into opening my own pet food store. Brindle passed away in 2013 at the age of 11 of a genetic disease called degenerative myelopathy. Her food did not kill her. In fact, it gave her a quality of life she didn't have in those first 6 months of life. We had two other boxers that we were able to start off on the right foot, who both passed away at the age of 13. And we thought this was pretty good considering the life expectancy of a boxer at the time was 8 years of age. So before I get started on the many benefits of raw diets, I'd like to address a few of the biggest objections to the raw diet that we hear in our stores. The first one is the cost of raw diets. This has always been one of the biggest barriers for pet parents considering a switch. But I have some good news for you. Feeding raw does not have to increase the cost of raising your dog. Feeding raw will simply change where you're spending your money. In that first 6 months of Brindle's life, we spent nearly $10,000 on her vet bills and very little on her diet and zero on supplementation. And imagine what that $10,000 would cost today. After her turn for the better, we increased our budget for a healthy diet and limited our vet visits mostly to checkups once a year. That was actually saving us money, time, and stress, and saving Brindle from feeling bad all the time. We changed our mindset on raising Brindle. We looked at our investment in diet and supplementation as an investment in her well care instead of investing in her sick care. And there's more good news. Today, with inflation, the price difference between the cost of high-quality dry and raw seems to be shrinking. And I'll explain why I think that might be in the benefits section later on in the podcast. For now, here's a quick example of what it would cost to feed a 50-pound, normal activity, adult dog, a chicken-based diet in Canadian dollars. Now, if we look at Nature's Logic Distinction Chicken, that's a premium, super premium food. That would be 2 cups a day at a cost of $2.75 a day. And Carnivora raw chicken diet, which is a popular raw diet in my neck of the woods, you'd be feeding 1.25 pounds a day, and it would cost you about $3.50 per day. So for a mere 75 cents per day, you can really elevate the quality of your dog's diet. I think that's really, really empowering. Now, the next concern that people have quite frequently, well, not so much these days, but in the beginning, is they're worried about bacteria. And the thing about us humans is we're really obsessed with bacteria, aren't we? And sadly, our obsession with destroying germs and bacteria with constant disinfecting of everything from surfaces to hands to dog food have created a real hot mess when it comes to the digestive and immune systems of dogs and humans alike. Now, there has never been a single documented case of humans or dogs getting sick from a fresh, properly handled, and stored raw diet. And if there were, you can be pretty sure that it would be exploited to the nth degree by dry pet food manufacturers far and wide. There have, however, been cases of ingredient mishandling and messed up formulations in processed foods that have and continue to make dogs and cats sick. In 20 years of raw feeding, and not those sterilized raw diets, I have never had any of my 6 dogs become ill from their food. The only food-related illness any of my dogs have had is when Brindle got acute pancreatitis from eating a shelf-stable cured knuckle bone. And I have never fed another one of those to any of my dogs since. So let's get on to the benefits of a raw food diet. Now, although most raw diet benefits are anecdotal, they're observed over and over again by people like me, who've met and worked with thousands and thousands of dogs and cats, and it doesn't take genius to notice the obvious and immediate benefits with an example like Brindle's. Official studies do exist, and more would be really great, but they are few and far between. I mean, since most diet studies are funded by companies with big budgets and something to gain from the results, it can be nearly impossible for these small, mostly family-owned raw food brands to pay for studies of their own. And since you can't really patent raw diets, I mean, they're very simple, there isn't a lot of payoff for these companies for that expense. All right, on to benefit number 1. They are more species appropriate. So, saying a dog is an omnivore over and over and over again doesn't make them one. Saying a dog will survive on a high carbohydrate or a plant-based diet doesn't mean they'll thrive on one. In fact, in my opinion, forcing a dog to eat nothing but plant-based carbohydrates would be akin to forcing a rabbit to consume only meat. Dogs are carnivores, and although there is some evidence that some evolution has occurred from their distant wolf cousins, it's not nearly enough to justify feeding them anything but a fresh meat-based diet. And in case you're still not convinced, here's more proof that domestic dogs are indeed carnivores. Firstly, dogs lack the ability to move their jaw in a side-to-side motion, which is required to grind food, like carbohydrates. Dogs have sharp, pointy teeth and lack flat molars that are required to grind grains, plants, and other carbs. Dogs are scavengers that chomp, tear, and swallow their food in large chunks. So can we please quit expecting them to chew their food? They won't. It's not going to happen. That's a lie. Some dogs do, but more often than not, they're gulping and they're eating really fast. Also, dogs lack the enzyme salivary amylase in their saliva, which is present in herbivores and omnivores to help break down plant carbohydrates. Dogs' saliva has antibacterial properties that help protect them against bacteria in spoiled rotten meat. Coyotes, wolves, etc., they're not eating the fresh stuff out of the freezer. They very often are eating rotten carcasses. Dogs have a highly acidic stomach during the digestion process and long digestive tracts, which are indicative of carnivores. Dogs' eye position is on the front of the skull for spotting and stalking prey animals. And both modern gray wolves and domestic dogs share distant relatives. In my 15 plus years in the pet food industry, I've seen with my very own eyes, dogs and cats, when fed appropriately, recover from chronic anal gland issues, diabetes, liver disease, kidney stones, dental disease, digestive issues, ear infections, and more. And that's all the proof I need. Now, the next point is fresh food is not denatured or sterilized. When dry diets are created, they're heated over and over again, which destroys much of their nutritional value. That's why it's added back in the form of synthetic or man-made vitamins and minerals. The body doesn't know how to utilize synthetic options as well, and in some situations, synthetic vitamins can accumulate in the body and actually cause illness or even death. This happens over and over again when companies don't test their vitamin packs appropriately, only to find out later that the vitamin K levels, for example, are way too high. Unfortunately, this often is only discovered after there are multiple reported illnesses and deaths in pets. I'm going to link to one such situation, although there's many, in the show notes. Most raw diets are natural, although there is a new trend of brands adding synthetic vitamins and minerals to their foods to appease AFCO standards and therefore veterinarians. And natural foods, if they're overabundant in a nutrient, it's simply eliminated from the body. No harm done. Food that has not been processed also takes much less work to digest than a processed diet, leaving the body's energy resources available for tasks other than digestion, like fighting infection, viruses, disease, or maybe healing a wound. The next point is many dogs will have an increase in energy and vitality. And one of the first things I noticed about Brindle when we switched her to a raw diet is that her eyes became more clear and shiny. It's really hard to explain what I mean by that, but it was almost like they came to life. And I've seen this in other dogs that have switched to a raw diet too. Hundreds of times we've heard stories of old dogs acting like puppies again and dogs becoming more energetic and happy. You know, kind of like after you've been sick for a while and you start to feel better and just start appreciating your wellness. Kind of like that. Now, you may also notice a possible resolution of hyperactive behavior. And building on my last point about increased energy, it's important to realize we're talking about an increase in healthy energy, not hyperactivity. And pup owners have reported a reduction in hyperactivity in their dogs when switching to a raw diet. Perhaps this could be due to the reduction in carbs and other sugars in the diet. Now, raw food diets may also possibly be more environmentally friendly than processed foods, because one very positive benefit in feeding most raw diets is they're very often regional. In our stores, we make an effort to carry quality diets as close to home as we can get them. We have diets produced in our province right here in Alberta, but most of our diets are produced in Canada, which has a side benefit of also supporting our economy. And the simplicity of raw diets also means that raw food manufacturers aren't shipping in tons of ingredients like synthetic vitamin packs all the way from places like China. And with the massive increase in transportation costs over the past year, I speculate that this might be why the gap has become smaller between the cost of feeding quality dry food and raw. This is really exciting news. Although, I'd still prefer not to have high transportation costs. Now, another point is smaller, firmer, less smelly stools. And I can tell dog guardians all day long about the benefits of raw, but the favorite and most immediately noticed is these smaller, firmer, less smelly stools. And I'm not kidding, depending on the quality of the dry food the dog started on, stools can shrink by more than half the size, making them easier to pick up, and they're a lot less smelly too. And you know who notices this the most are cat folks who are cleaning up stinky litter boxes. Another bonus is that firmer stools can naturally express anal glands and help prevent anal gland issues in dogs. They may reduce the need for manual expression by a groomer or a vet, which your dog may eventually become dependent on. Smaller stools are also an indication that the body is absorbing more of the food, and wouldn't you rather pay for food that your dog can actually use rather than food that ends up in the backyard? Now, another great point is dogs that are raw fed have little to no gas. And people often joke about foul gas coming from their dogs, especially bully breeds, but dogs shouldn't have excessive gas. We're way too used to doggy odor, bad breath, excessive gas, and weight issues in our dogs to realize that these are very real signs that something is wrong. My dogs seldom have gas unless I've been overfeeding them with way too many chews or treats. Now, another really cool point that people love is improved skin and coat condition with less body odor. And normally we'll see this in just a few weeks after the dog has switched to a raw diet. And dogs' coats become thicker and shinier and their skin is less dry and flaky. Since high-quality, bioavailable, or easy-to-absorb protein is necessary for a healthy skin and coat, this could indeed be the reason why we see such an improvement. And now my favorite one, fresher breath, healthier gums, and cleaner teeth. Would you believe that a staggering 8 out of 10 dogs will experience dental disease as an adult? And coincidentally, approximately 8 in 10 dogs are fed kibble diets, except, of course, in our stores, which it's more like a 40-60 split in favor of raw food. So what was that thing they said again about kibble cleaning teeth? I don't think so. My favorite analogy to bring up when pup parents mention that some expert recommended they feed kibble to clean teeth is, would that person forgo brushing and instead depend on crackers or croutons to clean their teeth? The answer is no. No, they wouldn't. In Dr. Connor's book, Feeding Dogs, he says that dogs need a hassle factor to their food in order to effectively maintain a healthy mouth. What this means is they actually need to rip and tear meat and tendon and chew bones to keep their gums and teeth strong and healthy. Kibble, and even commercial raw diets that are ground for dogs, don't have a hassle factor, and that means that we need to provide raw meaty bones like turkey necks or recreational bones like marrow bones to get the necessary friction on their teeth and gums to remove plaque and tartar from the teeth and to callus and improve circulation in the gum tissue. As mentioned previously, dogs lack the enzyme amylase in their saliva, and when they consume carbohydrate-laden diets, it can result in excess plaque, which then converts to tartar, and then leads to buildup and gum disease. When the teeth become mobile and need to be removed, the gum disease has already progressed to include bone loss of the jaw, which sadly is irreversible. If you're not comfortable providing raw bones to your pup, it's recommended that you brush their teeth a minimum of 3 times a week to make a difference in their mouth health. If you are comfortable, I suggest providing a raw bone 1 to 2 times a week. Depending on how meaty they are, like turkey necks, you can probably forgo one of their meals that day. Now, when you go to my blog post, which I'll link to in the show notes, you're going to see a photo of my 10 and a half year old dog, Grizz. I had him booked in for surgery, and while he was under, they cleaned his teeth for the very first time. And this was when he was around 10 years old. It wasn't that long ago. There was, unfortunately, a misunderstanding, and I didn't actually request a scaling. Because of my experience as a dental assistant, I know a bad mouth when I see one. I've seen lots. And Grizz did not require a cleaning. So the funniest thing was that they took a before and after photo for me to see the difference in his mouth. And I'm sure very often those photos are very profound. But in my case, I couldn't tell the difference, and I encourage you to go take a peek because I doubt you will either. All right, another benefit of the raw food diet is healthier weight and better physique. The excess carbs in kibble diets make dogs fat. We know this about humans, who are actually supposed to eat some carbs, so why is it so hard to believe they're making our dogs fat? Providing a healthy source of protein via a raw diet actually helps build lean muscle mass, and dogs become more muscular, lean, and fit. And it's a really, really beautiful thing. Better hydration. This is another great, great improvement. The role of water as a nutrient in the body is often underestimated. Water is responsible for so many important processes in the body, including removing toxins, moving nutrients, cooling the body, lubricating joints, many chemical reactions, and much, 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 much more. This is why they're telling us to drink 8 to 10 glasses a day ourselves. Now, dry diets are very dehydrating on a dog's body. Typically, they contain around 10% moisture, which honestly is probably going to be canceled out completely due to the additional work it takes the body to process those kibble diets. Raw meat contains approximately 75% water, depending on the protein, and dogs rely on this water for the majority of their hydration. It's supposed to come from their diet. When their diet lacks moisture, they become dehydrated, and only then do dogs and cats choose to drink. Cats are even worse. Cats have to be really dehydrated to choose to drink. So it's safe to say that kibble-fed dogs and cats are probably walking around dehydrated a large majority of the time, which is very detrimental to their health. You'll find when you switch your dog to raw, their water intake is limited to times of stress, illness, hot weather, or increased physical activity. Otherwise, they drink much, much less water than their kibble counterparts. And this is a good one too. They're all good. Stronger digestion and stronger immune system. Over the past decade or so, it's become common knowledge that upwards of 70% of your dog's immune system actually resides in their gastrointestinal tract. What this means is that when the digestive system is healthy and effective, so is the immune system. Your dog's digestive system works overtime to digest carbs, which are the slowest digesting macronutrients. Because carbs digest so slowly, they give the wrong bacteria time to metabolize sugars and produce gases in amounts that are unnatural for dogs. Carbs also fuel bacteria in the digestive tract that should not be getting fueled, causing an imbalance of bad versus good bacteria. This can create inflammation that can lead to leaky gut syndrome. Leaky gut syndrome can cause a whole host of other problems like allergy-like symptoms, which may actually eventually lead to actual allergies. Raw diets are not as taxing on the body to digest. They're free from fillers and additives and are moisture-rich, which improves all bodily functions and keeps the organs healthy. When everything in the body is working effectively and in harmony, the immune system is healthy and ready to jump to your dog's defense when needed. Now, building on that, the next point is fewer allergy-like symptoms like itching and scratching. We've discussed that raw diets improve skin and coat condition, and when the skin and coat are healthy, your dog won't be constantly scratching at irritated, inflamed, or dry skin. As mentioned earlier, leaky gut syndrome is very common in kibble-fed dogs due to kibble's high carb content and its likelihood to cause inflammation in the gut. Leaky gut occurs when the lining of the small intestine becomes damaged and permeable. Undigested food particles, toxins, and bacteria can leak through cuts or holes in the digestive lining and flow into the bloodstream. When these particles enter the bloodstream, where they're not supposed to exist, the body attacks them, which creates an allergy-like symptom. If this is allowed to persist for any length of time, the body may actually develop an allergy to specific proteins. High-carb diets can also lead to yeast overgrowth, and yeast on the skin is very inflammatory and itchy. When you eliminate all of the unnecessary carbs and sugars from the diet by feeding a raw diet, you can help prevent these symptoms from occurring or worsening. Now, I think it's probably important to say that if your dog is already suffering from these symptoms due to damage already done via bad diet or medication, changing the diet alone may not fix the problem. You might have to repair the damage with supplements. Now, I'm going to provide some links to you in the show notes at some supplements that might actually help with leaky gut syndrome. So, in conclusion, I'm happy to share with you just some of the many benefits of feeding a raw diet to your dog. Remember, I always tell people this, kibble and other convenience foods were created for the benefit of humans, not for the benefit of our dogs. While there are no diets that are best for all dogs, raw diets really do seem to improve the health of most dogs that try it. If you can't do a raw diet for whatever reason, please consider looking at freeze-dried diets that have the convenience of kibble, but they haven't been denatured in the same way. No heat is applied to these diets. If you add water to freeze-dried diets, they're much closer to a raw diet than any other shelf-stable option. And I'll also provide a link to this, but you can check out the podcast episode 8, which is Navigating Commercial Dog Diets. And you can learn more about freeze-dried diets in that episode. Now, I think it's important to round off the kind of the end of this podcast to remind everybody that when you choose to feed a raw diet, it's really important that you learn how to feed the diet correctly. Buying meat from the grocery store on its own is not a balanced diet. Raw diets need to contain muscle meat, organs, bone, and sometimes veggies. Now, if you want to find yourself a really reliable, independent pet food store in your neighborhood, in your community, they can help you with the diets they sell. We're very knowledgeable about the ones we have, and there are a lot of diets out there. Raw diets are one of those things when it comes to commercial diets that you really have to dig deep. This is the same with all diets, to be honest, but you do have to dig deep to make sure the quality is there. Just because somebody's selling raw food out of the back of their van, it doesn't mean that it's quality. So you really do need to do your homework on this too. Now, this podcast is already long enough as it is, but I think in a future podcast, we should probably talk about how to choose a raw diet. And if you think that that's a great idea, let me know. Reach out on social media and let me know. All right. As usual, I want to thank you so much for listening. And if you love this episode, please do tell a friend, share it, and let me know. I love to hear your feedback. And even if you have ideas for future episodes, I would love to hear that too. So, as always, bye-bye for now.
Thank you for listening. If you loved this episode, please subscribe and share with your dog-loving friends. The information in this podcast is not intended to replace veterinary care. Always consult with your veterinarian for diagnosis and treatment of your pup.